Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you may be listening. Welcome to episode 16 of Something's Brewing. How's everybody doing? Producer Dan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well.
A little bit disappointed that we didn't get a chance to do this last night, but
we tried, but
it was probably a little better that we didn't, because it was going to be a little late, and you know how Friday nights get when they get late.
Yes. Well, and I think we both did a good job of not upsetting our spouses.
Yeah, my wife said, there's no way Dan's going to let you come over that late, and I said, oh, he's going to. Don't worry.
Yeah. No, anyway, that wouldn't have been the problem. It's Friday night.
Other things. Yeah. So this episode brought to you by Organized Chaos Clothing, a lifestyle brand for our way of life. I want to also give a shout out to a new female listener we have, hashtag Brooke and Burke. Thank you very much. We're welcome to the Something's Brewing family.
You know Brooke Burke?
This is not Brooke Burke.
Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, no, this is hashtag Brooke and Burke. It's actually one of my new manager's girlfriend. He's got her turned on to the show, and we really appreciate it.
That's great.
So happy to have that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Want to also give a shout out to two old teammates I hadn't seen in a long time. Shout out to Deshaun Foster and Brian Pulley Dixon. Had a nice lunch with them last week. And a big thank you to my favorite Persian for setting that up. So,
you have a favorite Persian.
Exactly.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So next up, we wanted to start something new. I know, Dan, we've talked about this, but starting something new going forward is going to be, this is episode 16. Yeah. And from now on, as we started last week with Casey, you know, Brother Casey.
Casey Bones.
As number 15, episode 15, going forward.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about my favorite number 16. And in future episodes, whatever episode it is, my favorite number 17, favorite number 18, whatever, in any sport.
Okay.
And as a reminder, you can email us at Corey@somethingsbrewing.com. And we also would say this, if you have a favorite 17 or a favorite 18 or a favorite 19, send us an email, tell us a quick blurb about why they're your favorite. And if you win, we'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
So we set that up now. We obviously don't have any emails about 16 yet because we just talked about it.
Well, that and I need to remember to check the email.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I should probably do that.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah. I'm sorry, everybody.
That's okay. So here's the deal.
Talk to me.
Joe Montana, my favorite number 16.
Oh, nice.
Probably a lot of people's favorite number 16.
It's Joe
Montana. Let's just really quick on Joe Montana, because we got a lot of great things to cover this week. I mean, this is going to be a packed show. I know you got to get to the OC for headshots, which I can't believe I actually said that out loud.
Thanks. Thanks for outing me.
Are they paying you? Are you paying them?
No, I have to pay them. Trust me. I pay double.
So, Joe Montana, my favorite short quarterback. Now, you're talking about a little over 6'1". So, I put quarterbacks into two categories. You're either 6'2 or under, or you're 6'3 and over, right?
Gotcha.
The 6'2 something. You know,
he's a short quarterback.
Yeah, even though he's 6'1 and something, he's considered a short quarterback. By far, the best short quarterback of all time. Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time. Okay?
Okay.
But I used to love watching Joe Montana because he's about the same height as me. He was never a physically over the top talent either. He didn't look, muscular, seems similar to me. And then I'll never forget getting recruited, which you talked about before. The West Coast offense was the biggest thing that the offensive coordinator that convinced me to go to UCLA, Al Borges, God love him, talked about the West Coast offense, which was exactly what Bill Walsh and Joe Montana did.
Yeah.
For all those years when they were successful.
Yeah.
So a soft spot in my heart for Joe Montana. I have had the pleasure of meeting him on one occasion.
Nice.
Was very gracious, and I just freaking loved the guy. All right, moving on.
Number 17.
Number 17 is coming up next week.
Okay.
Dan, don't get ahead of ourselves.
I know. I'm
for God's sakes. And speaking of God, did you know that it was Ash Wednesday?
I did know that, yeah.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, I only know that because I see people walking around with burn marks on their foreheads.
I saw it coming out of the gym on Wednesday, and I was like, okay. It's Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
So did you take your ash to Mass?
I took my mask to Ash.
So do you actually know what Ash Wednesday stands represents? Because I actually
I used to.
I couldn't describe it. I couldn't guarantee get it right without looking it up, which is embarrassing considering I grew up in the church.
Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. Well, a friend of mine is a priest, and that's how I know.
You guys are still friends?
We are, yeah. I don't tell him. I don't tell him about my evil thoughts. Trust me.
you don't give him any ideas.
Yeah, you got to protect him.
All right. So
it's the beginning of Lent, though, right?
Yeah, and then what you're supposed to do is basically fast and get ready, practice self-control, repentance prior to Easter.
Right.
So in conjunction with what Jesus had to do, you're also not supposed to eat meat. I did try and do that for a couple of days, by the way.
Not eat meat?
Yeah.
How did that go?
I did it for 2 days. So
you maxed out in 2 days.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I just wanted to make sure you remembered that.
So wait a minute. So the beginning of Lent, is that when Jesus got into the cave or whatever? That's the insertion into the cave.
Yeah.
And then Easter, he comes out of the cave.
Rises.
He rose out of the cave. Yes.
Can you imagine any
I'm such a scholar.
Biblical historians that are probably rolling?
Poor things. Yeah, it's bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I guarantee we were not correct about everything we just said. Okay, but next up, also went to a Los Angeles Lakers playoff game. And you're thinking, what do you mean, the playoffs? No. But if you've been following the Lakers, they pretty much needed to win out the rest of their games. So we went. I went this week with my my father-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law against the Clippers. And it did have a little bit of that playoff feel because it was a must-win game.
Yeah.
But the Lakers suck, man.
Oh, really? It was the Lakers and the Clippers?
Yeah, it was Lakers versus the Clippers. And I forget his number. I forget his name, but number 21 on the Clippers was talking so much shit to LeBron the whole game. Up in his face.
Oh,
antics.
Yeah?
You know, the type of antics that I hate to watch, but I was the guy doing on the basketball court in high school. But, and he was getting in LeBron's head. And now, granted, LeBron was hurt for 17, 18 games, but this is the first time he's not going to make the playoffs since his rookie season, I believe.
That hurts.
Which is a long time.
Yeah, he's house hunting in Chicago right now, or somewhere. You know what I mean?
Right. He's like, he's so big into the entertainment business now. He's not.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's still doing ball. I mean,
stop
doing movies and TV shows. Right. He's on HBO all the time.
But
but
one thing I do want to mention for those of you, the next game he passed up Michael Jordan in the all time scoring list. And when game we were at, I noticed it popped up on the Jumbotron like a countdown to Jordan. And I was like, I think I just saw that. So he passed him up the following game. And for you, because I know that you don't know this, and for a clarification for our listeners,
sure,
just so we're on the same page, number one is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Number two is Karl Malone. Number three is Kobe. LeBron is now four. And my favorite player of all time, Michael Jordan, is number five. So he still has 1,300 points to pass up Kobe. And let me just say one thing that I haven't said before since we're on the Kobe-LeBron deal.
Sure.
I'm probably not going to have a long conversation with LeBron anytime soon, and he's probably not going to invite me onto a show. But if he does, I'm not going to apologize for what I'm about to say. Kobe was a killer, okay? LeBron is a passer. And I don't care how physically gifted he is one of the most physically gifted basketball players ever. But I'll take Kobe or Michael Jordan all day, any day, period.
Now, who did you say is number one?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all-time scoring list. Okay. All right, let's move the chains here, Dan.
Move the chains?
You like how I threw that in there?
No, I don't know what
you're talking. Do you know what that even means?
No.
Okay. Well, first of all,
the chains on your SUV when you're going to Mammoth. Like, what do you?
Yeah. So, first of all, I've been using too many of the same transition words, so I'm throwing in a little extra.
Oh, okay.
So I've got some negative feedback from some listeners. So, moving the chains means moving into the next segment, and it's also a football reference, which means you move the chains, you get a first down. I got a new set of downs. Got it.
So I don't know what it's called, like the down mark. There's the
down markers.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I just was guessing. Mm-hmm. The down markers have chains on them?
And guess how much chain is there, do you think?
Half a football field.
You're so stupid.
I mean the width, half the width.
No, the chain is 10 yards because that's how much you have to get for a first down.
I don't know. Listen, okay. I just want to know why you're so worried that someone's going to steal the marker. So it's chained down.
That's actually funny.
Right?
Okay, so let's move the chains. Rest in peace, Luke Perry. Oh my God. I know you're obviously older, Dan, but I'm 38 obvious? Years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having to sneak upstairs to my parents' bedroom to watch Beverly Hills 90210
really?
Because my parents thought it was too edgy and I was too young and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I feel like you were either in Jason Priestley,
right.
you know, his camp
right.
or Luke Perry's camp.
Yeah.
Dylan, you know, or Brandon.
Right.
And I was a.
Were you a Luke Perry guy?
Yeah, come on.
Did you grow your sideburns as fast as
I could?
Never could.
My right sideburn grows well. My left sideburn is. It's like I have a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing going on.
Well, half your head is Luke Perry.
The other half.
And
the other side's like the devil and the angel. But no, I loved Luke Perry. He was so cool.
He was so cool.
In that show. So I actually had a meeting. Yesterday afternoon, happy hour with a guy that's about 10 years older than me. He's actually 8 years, 46, something like that. We were talking. I was, you know, just getting a little prep for the show, kind of practicing out some of my new stuff.
Nice.
And I brought up the Luke Perry thing and 90210. And he's like, I said, do you remember, you know, you're almost 10 years older. Did you watch 90210 also? And he told me a great story. I actually texted you to remind me, which I see that you
did. Yeah, I did.
He was in Scottsdale back then, living in Scottsdale, you know, a young adult.
Okay.
You know, I was a teenager, right? He was a young adult. And they would have 90210 watch parties at the bars. Okay.
What?
Yeah. So I couldn't believe it. So there was.
So people old enough 20, to drink.
21 year olds
would
go
to.
And he said it was the best place to pick up chicks.
God,
because
bet.
You had a bunch of great looking, you
right.
know, 20 somethings
right.
that were literally at the bar with the sound on. He said there wasn't just one
watching
bar, multiple
all that
bars.
Romance and tension.
Yeah, right? Mm. And obviously, you're somewhat in the Hollywood business. You got a bunch of mid 20 year old kids playing teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, so they have a
yeah,
little more
absolutely.
Sex appeal anyway. But,
wow.
you know, rest in peace. Really, really, like truly loved Luke
yeah.
Perry. And it's sad to see him go at such a yeah. Young age.
How old was he? 52? Early 50s.
Yeah, early 50s.
Wow.
But still looked good.
Yeah,
I thought.
He's Luke Perry.
Still,
come on,
yeah.
man.
Right. And, but didn't look like he's had a lot of work done either, though.
No,
you know?
No, I don't think so.
Still looked relatively natural.
I think he was just, like, doing it, yeah.
Thought he looked relatively natural. Okay, so next up, another boxer. Met Bernard Hopkins at the gym the other day.
All right, what's going on?
He rolls up. Well, I see him pulling in.
At the gym?
Yeah, so I'm walking into
really?
The gym, and he's rolling up in a black Rolls Royce.
Like, oh.
You know, looking good, got a good-looking
wow.
wife or girlfriend, whoever was with him. And, you know, me. I couldn't pass it up. I got on my phone, pretended like I was making a call, waited for him to get out of the car, and then just gave him a quick, hey, nice to meet you, just so that I could add it to the list.
Right, sure.
Because that list, for those of you that haven't listened to all of our episodes in order, is since we've started Something's Brewing, I have now personally met Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, Evander Holyfield, and now Bernard Hopkins in 17-week period.
Seriously?
Or no, 18 weeks. We missed a week.
Right.
Did meet Mike Tyson. Prior to the starting of the show, and I have met Floyd Mayweather.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
I forgot about Tyson.
Yeah, so
really?
I can't wait to meet those guys since we've started Something's Brewing, because I'll be able to get into a good conversation with Mike Tyson.
We got to have a boxer on the show.
Why don't we reach out to him, see if he'll come on the show?
Yeah, can we do that remote, though? I think I'd be too scared if he were here.
I was watching a highlight of him going off on Don Lemon, you know, the CNN reporter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I got into watching clips of Don Lemon. And one was when Tyson was literally telling Don he's full of shit, because Don really...
You're full of shit.
The piece that they aired, actually putting Mike Tyson on TV, was very little. He's like, Don, what's going on here? Like, we talked the whole time. He's like, we were talking off camera. Like, this is bullshit. You know, Don, you're full of shit. And he's like going off, and then you can tell Don's starting to get nervous.
Don's like, yeah, I just angered someone to pummel me in a moment.
Exactly. So anyway, thought that was obviously,
that's awesome.
Adds to the legend of our boxing connection.
Yeah, we're going to have to start some sort of, wall of fame. For all the boxers.
Like it's our restaurant? Like it's our Italian restaurant.
Or something, right?
Yeah, that would be great. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we need a caricaturist. And we're
but I'm not. I'm not that. You know, you're managing the Something's Brewing Instagram.
In theory.
Which I am getting very close to being ready to make a full-fledged push.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I'm getting close.
Mm.
I have a couple ideas we got to talk about off camera. But I'm not the big, hey, can I take a picture with you?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Never have.
Some people are really good at that. And
some people have no shame in that.
Right.
It's not a guarantee either, by the way. There's some people that I've been around, you know, whether you would think, like, let's call it like a successful businessman, right?
Right.
And you would think there's no way that this successful businessman is actually going to go over there and ask this famous person for a selfie.
Right. No way.
You're like, right. Are you serious? Right. You're going to do that? Come on. Oh, God, no. Really?
Wow, you're doing it.
And he's doing it. Yeah. And it's like big smiles. Like, And then there's this other random people that it doesn't always work out the same way. Then you got a random person you would think would be all over a selfie would say, I would never do a selfie.
Right.
Does that mean, you know what I mean by that?
Well, can you imagine when you were playing football, when you were starting and all that?
Yeah.
If people had cell phones that could take pictures and all, I mean, that's what you would do all day is defend yourself against selfies, right?
And there were, myself and my teammates, we weren't that famous, but I mean, we were like somewhat famous
in my
at the
mind.
Time.
We've you talked were definitely about that. That famous.
Yeah, I mean, but when you would have like a spring practice or a spring game or a fall camp, a big event, it took pictures with little kids all the time and signed all kinds of cool stuff. And, you know, like that's why if you ever get asked, Dan, if anyone asked for your autograph, going forward, you just give it to them and feel great about it.
I will, I promise.
You know?
I have a Sharpie in my pocket right now.
Yeah, you're John Hancock. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Herbie Hancock.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move the chains again. All right, one thing that I have to talk about.
Ooh.
Took the family to Medieval Times last weekend.
No.
Yes.
I've never been there.
Okay.
So it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. There's about seven of them throughout the country.
Because they're in movies a lot, but I've never seen
so many
proof.
Spoof. Yeah, it's like a spoof inside the movie the time,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Especially Cable Guy. Remember that scene?
Where, that was Cable Guy.
How great was that scene?
Yes.
So you went. And I had growing up in the suburbs of Illinois, there's a Medieval Times in Schaumburg, Illinois, which is like a 30-minute drive from us, right? And my parents, you know, I love my parents to death, but that was like something that they would probably have said, we're not going to pay to go see that. That's ridiculous.
That's too,
So we never went.
Okay.
But then Christine had my wife had a great idea to go. And I was like, let's do it. Wondered what it was. Holy cow. So you've never been.
No.
You don't get any utensils. The kids get this giant iron mug.
No.
Yeah, and we actually VIP'd. I sent you the VIP picture, I think. We got to put that up. Yeah.
I got to see
course.
That.
Of course. You know us. We only go places with VIP rooms.
Right.
We actually paid to go to the VIP at Medieval. And I have the lanyard that says it right there.
Nice.
We
got
to add that to the website.
That's awesome.
So that basically all they let you do is sit in the middle instead of the corner. So
no utensils?
No utensils whatsoever. Okay. Eating all with your hands.
Okay.
Heavy metal plates.
Yeah.
As if you are in the Medieval Times.
Right. Okay.
And they come by with giant chickens that have been, grilled throughout the time. And you get to each section of the sort of the arena.
Okay.
Okay. Has they're all color coded, connected to your knight. So there's six different knights.
Oh, okay.
With different colors.
So you have a knight. You're
yes.
sitting there and you have a guy
yes.
already.
So like, we had how times are the racially correct. It was they don't have a white knight or a black knight. They have a white and black knight. So he's white and black. Like his colors are white and black.
It's and not who's a, he joust?
He jousts against the green knight, the purple knight, the red knight, the blue knight.
Gotcha.
But there's not a white knight.
So
and
the black
knight.
And white guy is the hero guy.
And our guy won. We were the white and black knight, and he
nice.
Won. And you should have seen Kylie, one of the twins, you know, this 4.5-year-old that has such an attitude when the bad knight.
Mm-hmm.
The knight that wasn't our knight
mm-hmm.
would come around and sort of, placate to our neighbor, our area. She was literally yelling at him, screaming at him, like, get out of here.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my
she
God.
She had more loyalty to the white and black knight than she had at a UCLA football game. Yeah. So, but here's a couple of points I want to make out about the Medieval Times.
Okay, this is
so
crazy.
I've scoured the internet for this because you know me. I'm always trying to come up with creative, original ideas.
Very creative.
Not just banal platitudes that came from before that I'm just recreating with a certain little spin on it.
Exactly.
Medieval Times.
Yes.
In history. Knights in the Medieval Times.
The actual, right.
Knights in the Medieval Times, in my opinion, were the first professional athletes. Just let that marinate for a second. So, I can't think of another one. And the more I did a little more research on this, the knights would compete in these tournaments and get paid if you won. And even if you didn't win, you would still receive some sort of payment, whether it be armor or a new horse, all kinds of stuff.
See, gold. I'm trying desperately to refute your claim.
I know.
And,
I'm just saying.
It's not working.
I know.
Because everything I think of, my first thought was the Olympics.
Right.
The Olympics have been around since, I don't even know.
Forever.
So, BC,
those were amateur athletes.
Those
didn't get paid to do so.
Right. So that doesn't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say professional athlete, I keep thinking like
they were performing in somewhat of a sport for money. And I was trying to think maybe samurais, but the samurais were not there. And again, I mean, I've been to Japan, read up, seen plenty of readings about the samurai, but I don't ever remember the actual tournaments that samurais would have.
But I think they were more
they were training
quasi-military slash guards slash assassins.
Not to change subjects, but samurai. Do you know that in the Shogun times in Japan, that if you were a samurai, you were allowed to kill anyone anytime you wanted because the people considered it practice since you were the most right.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like you were untouchable as a samurai, untouchable whatsoever because you were the most important person to the village because you were able to protect it.
Right.
So
if you needed to practice your swordsmanship,
like it's been written down as like a law. Like
insanity.
Samurai can do whatever they want.
Wow.
Yeah. Long, great. A lot more things I want to get into about
samurai
that.
Samurai movies.
I am, and I'm into I'm into the samurai culture.
Right.
I'm into the Asian culture.
Wait a minute.
What?
What about sumo wrestlers?
Good, maybe.
Damn,
that might.
We're gonna have to look that up. When did sumo wrestling start? I have no idea.
You say
something about sports, I'll Google.
All right, well, I'll keep talking about Medieval Times. You look at that. So, do you remember the movie Ice-T? Don't talk. You focus on that. For the listeners, you remember the movie Ice-T, or they're not the movie Ice-T, but there was a movie with Ice-T. I forget the name, but where a bunch of wealthy hunters actually started hunting Ice-T. As if he was.
That was one of those many.
I can't remember that.
The
movie.
Most Dangerous Game movies.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my correlation with that.
Talk to me.
How awesome would it be if we could have a real medieval times where professional knights fought to the death?
Real knights.
How much would wealthy people pay to see that? So that's with my correlation to the movie where they hunted Ice-T. So I'm not trying to hunt humans and shoot them down like freaking Running Man, okay? But
oh, I love it.
But, like underground, it still exists. Have you ever been to an underground, like unsanctioned fight, boxing match?
Oh, many times. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've seen Bloodsport.
What am I in Fight Club?
Have you seen Bloodsport? With Van Damme? Lionheart?
Yeah.
You know, like the underground fighting scene.
Sure.
It's got to still exist. I've never
movies.
Been to one.
Right.
But, oh, by the way, side note, one of my buddies went out on a date with Van Damme's daughter the other day.
Ooh, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
No matter how hot she is, I don't know if I could do that. Boy, I bet
Damme's a little guy, though.
And I bet his daughter's very attractive.
If you look her up, she can do a lot of the same kicks that he could do too, which is also kind of cool. But that was a side note about Van Damme.
Okay, so in the excitement of the show, I can't really find any start date on sumo wrestling.
Okay, we'll figure that out later.
We're gonna figure that out for next week.
That'll be our follow up next week. But
so wait, your friend went out with Van Damme's daughter?
Yeah, we're gonna have to go to a different topic.
I don't know if I can move on from that.
If you look her up, you definitely won't be able to move on.
Really?
Okay, but no. So listen, back to my point. I would happily pay a huge sum of money to watch an actual real medieval knight competition where they fought to the death. I want that people to think about that. All right. Speaking of fighting, also paid $64.95 for high definition of UFC 235 on pay-per-view.
Nice.
Over the weekend. And a couple different fights I wanted to focus on. There is a Brazilian by the name of Johnny Walker, right? You're like, it's like,
really, dude?
Yeah, Johnny Walker speaking Portuguese is an oxymoron,
right?
But literally, I don't know if that's his real name, but That's what he goes by. Johnny Walker is a light heavyweight, and for the his fight was on the prelim fights, so it wasn't actually on the pay-per-view portion. But I watched him the fight before, and I'd never heard of him.
Okay,
you'll never forget him again. Brazilian guy named Johnny Walker.
Right.
I remember watching him the last time he fought and thinking, this dude is a badass motherfucker. Right?
Really?
Oh yeah. So I see that he's fighting up next, and I was actually at the movies. The whole family was watching the Train Your Dragon movie.
Okay.
And the kids were being too loud, and I couldn't stand like hearing them all talk. I'm like, guys, you got to be quiet. So I went outside and started watching the UFC prelims at the movie theater. So he's coming up. I pull up my betting app on my phone. Shout out to SteakBob.com.
Nice.
You actually should start paying us for that.
Steak Bob.
Okay. So I'm watching and I see that Johnny Walker's coming up next. Like, that's the guy I think is a badass.
That's your guy, right?
I pull it up. He's like minus 180 on betting, right? So you have to bet 180 to win 100. Okay. So it's not great odds. Okay. Yeah. He's obviously the favorite. Yeah. I put $500 on him.
Okay.
Because there's no way he's going to not win this fight. But you know, even though you feel like there's no way he's not going to win the fight, I never very rarely bet that much on any event. Like that's a big bet for me, $500 bet on one thing. But I did it and I was like, but I believe in him so much. But then my hands got sweaty. I was nervous.
Undo.
Right. I'm like, oh shit. Oh, it already went through. Damn it. Customer service isn't answering. So watch the dude. So this is the best part. So I'm like getting anxious, right?
Right.
So he kicks the dude's ass within less than a minute.
Seriously?
Yes. And I'm like, okay, all right. So we win. He then gives like a stands up straight for his celebration. He gives a salute, like a military salute.
Okay.
And then he's about to do the worm. You know what the worm is? The dance move.
Yeah.
He lands on his face, bangs his face on the mat, and hurt his shoulder.
Doing the worm.
Trying to celebrate doing the worm.
Seriously?
Yes.
So he can go in the ring with arguably one of the top fighters in his weight class.
Right.
Demolished the guy.
And then it got hurt doing the worm. Yes.
Oh my God.
And there was other people that were paying attention to the fight at the bar. And I'm looking at everybody, I'm going, he just got hurt. And they're like, oh no way. He didn't get hurt.
No way.
I go, watch. He rolls over on his back and he's still not getting up. Trainers had to come out and check on him because he hurt his shoulder doing the worm. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Can you believe that? Okay,
that's awesome.
So next fight, I want to talk about Robbie Lawler, old school guy, been fighting for a long time against Ben Askren, who came from a competing,
Lawler?
Yeah, Robbie Lawler and Ben Askren.
Isn't that the guy that used to wrestle Andy Kaufman all the time?
Sounds similar.
Yeah.
But Ben Askren came from a competing league. So this was one of his first fights. I think his first fight in the UFC. So there was a little controversy. Ben got dropped on his head. Ben Askren gets dropped on his head, gets the shit kicked out of him for, you know, 1.5 minutes, and fights his whole way back and chokes out Robbie Lawler, and his arm went limp. So you saw his arm go limp. And then the referee stopped the fight because he's like, it just choked him out. His arm went limp.
Right.
But his arm only went limp for a split second, and he didn't choke him out, and Robbie Lawler was still conscious. And so then so I felt bad for Herb Dean, who's one of the best referees in the history of the UFC, you know, legendary guy, and everyone's saying he made a mistake, but I saw the guy's arm go limp too. But then next fight, so there was two championship fights on the same card, maybe that's why they charged extra. Kamaru Usman beat Tyrone Woodley, and Usman is legit. Okay.
Oh, yeah,
this was for the welterweight title. That dude, Tyrone Woodley is a Hall of Fame UFC fighter for sure. And he didn't know, it looked like he didn't know anything about how to fight this guy.
Against this guy?
He
yeah,
looked
really?
Like he was confused, and he just, wow. And that I was really impressed. And then last but not least, you know, John Bones Jones, who many believe is the greatest fighter of all time. He's had some, this is a guy that's, who's had some off the field problems, you know, mm. To use a football or mm-hmm. basketball analogy. He's gotten caught doing stupid shit, you know, running or leaving a car, you know, a couple handful of things that don't make sense. But his interview after this fight, he looks to be in a fantastic place.
Really?
So whoever was, you know, I'm not blaming it on his handlers, because you still are a human being. You make a lot of your, no one's forcing you to make stupid decisions.
Right, right.
You still, at the end of the day, have to take responsibility for your decisions. But you can tell that his team around him now has done something, because this dude,
right?
He looks clear-headed, and he is, no one would ever argue with his ability to actually fight. But now it looks like he's got a clear head. So my point of that is, hopefully Johnny Walker's not hurt, and he's still not, yeah. I don't think he's even in the top 10 ranking yet for the same, because they're in the same weight class. But mark my words, I've met Dana White, spoken to him, but I haven't spoken to him about this. He runs the UFC.
Yeah.
I see a Johnny Walker, John Bones Jones fight.
Really?
In the future.
Yeah.
So for my UFC listeners out there, I hope you agree. All right. So moving on. I haven't done that every time.
No, that's
so it's okay. So
sure.
When you don't do it every time, now you can do it.
Now you see.
So let's take Brooklyn's Bridge over to the last segment of the show.
Oh, let's do it.
I hope everybody sticks around, because then you're going to know. And before we get into the last segment about someone that has inspired me more than I've been inspired by anyone in a long time, as you know, we strive to do a little inspiration.
Sure.
You know, for 7 weeks straight, we chronicalize the Pause Laws. So for those of you that haven't done the episode three on, which is basically when I think we started, because that's when you and I started.
Right, right.
Just a quick recap on the 7 rules to success through positive thinking, which are the Pause Laws. Number 1, keep a positive attitude at all times. Number 2, don't forget to pause and reflect. Number 3, always position yourself for success. Number 4, remember a round of a pause. Number 5, everyone needs some apostles. Number 6, never play possum. And number 7, feel the pause in effect. So this guy that we're about to talk about next to end the show
right.
is not an imposter.
No.
This guy is better than us.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and who I'm talking yeah. about, you know, is a gentleman by the name of Rob Mendez. So a week and a half ago, if not a little bit, maybe 2 weeks ago, his story was featured on SportsCenter. And for those of you that have not seen the Rob Mendez story,
whatever it is, right.
You have got to go to YouTube and search Rob Mendez. So you watched right. the.
You know what? I'll put it on Something's Brewing too.
Perfect.
If
thank
I can.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. So
yes, I did. I watched it very recently.
And he's a head junior varsity football coach in, I think, Northern California, Saratoga, California. He's got no arms and no legs. Okay, he drives his wheelchair, his electronic wheelchair, his motorized wheelchair. He writes with a pen in his mouth. He learned how to the techniques and the strategies of football by playing Madden on Nintendo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With his chin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again,
because we can't see him. When you say no arms and legs,
it's like he has no
like
arms
Rob
legs.
Mendez doesn't even have stumps mm-hmm. or like, well, he's got leg down to the knee. No. He literally
zero appendages.
Yeah.
And I forget the actual name of it. And I don't think they ever gave the name, but the how rare it is. There's only 100 of them.
Oh,
of,
is that right? Of people with
people
this
like
situation?
Rob
yeah.
In the world.
But he was born that way.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was brought to tears multiple times during the story. The first one was when the mom, Jesus.
I'll fill in if you.
Oh man! So the first one was when the mom, you know, the mom was being very honest about how she felt at first, right? And how she didn't want to see him at first.
Right. It was too hard.
Yeah. And then you see his sister and his dad, and then they show the clips of this guy when he was a baby and like a young kid, his attitude from the moment he was able to deliver any emotion was the most heartwarming, best attitude you could ever imagine.
Yeah, seriously.
And, you know, learning how to play the piano with a pencil in his mouth, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
yeah,
just certain things that, yeah, you hear all the time about things that we take for granted,
right?
But you could take things for granted when, like you said, you lost a limb, right? Or
right.
Had a tragedy happen after everything was going perfectly fine. But the way that this guy has persevered, and his tagline is "Who says I can't now?" And he says it really quick to it. So we'll get to the football part for now. So It was a student of the game by playing Madden, big mm-hmm. fan of the game,
mm-hmm.
Was coaching some quarterbacks and whatnot. And he goes to an interview to become a head coach for a junior varsity football team
at
a, you know, legit high school. It wasn't 8-man football. It was like legit football. And the head coach that is the head coach of the varsity team talks about, you know, the interviewing process, and they introduce him to the team for the first time.
Yeah.
And his presence and his delivery, considering he is on a motorized wheelchair with no arms and no legs, is the coolest thing that I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
To watch the kids then talk about him as well was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I hope you can agree, because they just see that the type of person that he is and mm-hmm. the mindset that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been inspired or motivated like that in a long time. So hopefully you felt the same way.
I loved it. I loved it. The guy is so inspirational, but he so has the backs and the hearts of those kids.
Yeah.
That they, well, he's all in.
Yeah.
Right. Mendez is all in.
Right.
And so the kids are all in.
Yep.
And he talks so much about them being a family.
Yeah.
That he took a team that I don't get the impression they were particularly successful.
We're going to brought them together. Yeah.
Really just, it's an outstanding piece, but he's an amazing guy.
Pretty impressive.
Wow.
So, you know, I meant to like send, you can send an info to him about speaking engagements, but I am going to, send him an email and see if we can get him on the
really?
Show. Yeah. So
that'd be amazing.
I hope we can. And I hope he accepts, because, it would be great to have a good conversation with the three of us.
It'd be amazing.
Especially, do another end segment with Rob Mendez, but. Anyway, so hopefully if you haven't seen it again, go back and watch it, because if you don't watch that and don't think to yourself and still don't like sports, then you're an asshole. Right?
Exactly.
So, but get some more things to talk about in future episodes. So in closing, have a fantastic rest of your morning, a beautiful afternoon, or a wonderful evening. And remember, if you keep a positive attitude at all times, something's always brewing.
Corey Pons is back at quarterback now. Throws it to end zone. Gets it away. Deep down the middle.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.